Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us as we talk about the God who calls us to trust Him. Let's pray. O God, who is greater than the most powerful forces in this world, enable us to be still and know that You are God. O Lord, who speaks to us in Scripture, breathe in us Your Holy Spirit to strengthen, comfort, and guide us in the midst of all the difficulties which we wrestle with, so that we may live fully as Your people in our homes, in our communities, in our world. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Our reading for today is from 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 8 to 16, and I'm reading from the NIV. Then the word of the Lord came to him, that is Elijah. Go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?" As she was going to get it, he called, "And bring me, please, a piece of bread." "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first, make a small cake of bread for me from what you have, and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, 'The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land.'" So she went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Just to there, and may God bless His word to us today and always. Elijah the prophet is an interesting personality because of the prominent place he occupies in Scripture, both the Old and New Testaments. Here, he suddenly pops up at the beginning of 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1, and with a name which means Yahweh is God, confronts King Ahab and announces God's punishment for his departure from serving Yahweh and how it had led the nation astray. The punishment is a drought that would last for some years to come, and it would only end at Elijah's word, which was another way of establishing his place as a prophet and that his message was indeed a word from God, as well as to tell Ahab that his pagan Baal-worshipping priests and prophets were powerless against the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. A drought was not an arbitrary means of getting Ahab's attention, for the lack of rain was one of the punishments of the covenant that would result from Israel's disobedience, and this can be read about in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 23 to 24. And you can be sure that Ahab knew this. In any event, just before our reading, Elijah, after making this announcement to Ahab, fled to an isolated ravine under God's direction, which suggests that he was in some kind of danger. The source of that danger becomes clear in chapter 18, verse 4, where we read that Jezebel, Ahab's pagan wife, had embarked on the systematic extermination of Yahweh's prophets. This was not the reaction of Jezebel to the showdown on Mount Carmel between Elijah and the prophets of Baal, but her ridding Israel of those who would denounce her pagan behavior as well as that of Ahab. So Elijah went into hiding, where God took care of him by ordering ravens to feed him there. But when the stream near Elijah dried up, an effect of the drought, God gave him further instructions, sending him outside Israel's territory altogether to the Phoenician town of Zarephath. As a point of clarity, it was common practice in all periods, Old Testament and New, to refer to Phoenicia by the name of its principal cities, Tyre and Sidon. It is ironic, therefore, that Elijah flees from Jezebel, a native of Phoenicia, who promoted her Phoenician god Baal, to find refuge in Phoenicia. Upon arriving at the town gate of Zarephath, Elijah is on the lookout for a widow. Now, widows who were on their own, unless their spouses and fathers were wealthy, were socially and economically marginalized, barely able to survive in times of plenty, and clearly at risk during droughts, which resulted in a famine. And it seems that the drought and ensuing famine had also extended into Phoenicia. For that reason, going to a widow for food was a strange directive from God. God was again using an unusual source to feed his prophet. Previously it was ravens, now a destitute widow. In fact, the Lord said that he had commanded the widow to supply Elijah with food. How are we to understand this? It would appear that God made the widow willing by his Spirit, similar to how people's hearts are made willing to respond to the gospel. For unless people are made willing to hear and respond to the gospel, no amount of logic, common sense, or reasoning on its own will result in salvation. This agrees with the fourth point in the five points of Calvinism, called irresistible grace, a biblical concept that is probably better called effectual grace, how God, by his grace and through the Holy Spirit, overcomes the resistance of our wills, miraculously making us willing to come to him through the atoning work of Jesus on the cross. How this happens, I don't know. I know only that Scripture is replete with examples of it happening, and the widow of Zarephath is one such example. And so Elijah entered the town and tested the first woman he saw by asking her for a drink of water. Now the text does not tell us how he recognized her and knew that she was a widow. Some have said that perhaps Elijah knew that the first woman he encountered would be the widow as an act of faith. Others have suggested that she may have been dressed or veiled in a particular way to signify her status as a widow. Either way, there is no biblical or other evidence to help us arrive at these ideas, and both possibilities seem likely. And so Elijah encountered the woman in a public space, not at the door to her home or at a well, since she was gathering kindling for a fire at the time. This meant that he was not really entitled to get what he requested. But it did mean, to show some measure of hospitality, she would have had to interrupt her work for this strange man, which she did. Her willingness led him to request a piece of bread as well, as she made her way to get the water. Her situation, of course, was so dire and her response so frank that it could easily be taken as a sign of rudeness or a lack of hospitality from a cultural perspective. But it really wasn't. In the words of one source, it may simply be that her well was dry, the well of her soul. She has no prepared food to offer. She has only the meanest of ingredients, a dab of flour and a dollop of oil, enough to make one cake that she will divide between herself and her child, and then she expects to die of hunger. But in the process of interacting with Elijah, the widow, who has no name, recognized Elijah as an Israelite and appealed to Yahweh in affirming that she had no bread. "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she said, which was to make an oath regarding her state of affairs. Some have taken this to also mean that at some level she believed in the God of the Israelites, but this is unclear. At that point, she did not know that Elijah was a prophet. Nevertheless, Elijah calmed her fears of himself, her hunger, and her imminent death. He encouraged her not to be afraid, but instead to do as she intended to do, with one small condition. He asked her to feed him first, and then use what was left to feed herself and her son. This request came with a promise on the authority of the Word of God, using familiar prophetic language. "For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jug of oil shall not be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. Her obedient response demonstrated her faith in the word of the Lord from Elijah. The Lord honored her faith by fulfilling his promise miraculously. And by this miracle, Baal, who was believed by the pagans to be a fertility god, giving rain to make crops grow, was shown up in the very land where he was worshipped. While others suffered during the famine, the widow and her son did not. As we draw to a close then, we discover a few things. Firstly, to be sure, standing for what is right in the face of opposing views can be quite costly. And there will always be times when we are challenged to stand up for the gospel's sake and be prepared to face opposition, as long as we know that we are on good biblical ground. Elijah stood up against the evils of his day, and what kept him going was the fact that he was on good biblical ground, for God had sent him. It did not make his life comfortable. Instead, he had to go into hiding and much more as time progressed. Secondly, the name of the town Zarephath means smelting place or refining, and God was certainly putting Elijah through a fiery trial. Imagine his heart dropping when he discovered how poor the widow was and that she was about to prepare her last meal. This must have tested his faith quite a bit, yet he did not hesitate, but instead spoke God's words of comfort and promise. No doubt, the widow herself was also tested by having to decide to believe the word of promise to her through this man who now spoke like a prophet, or not. But God is faithful and honors his word, for when the widow put God first by obeying Elijah's instructions, God provided for her, her son, and her guest, Elijah. Likewise, we also will find ourselves being tried in a fiery furnace for doing God's work, for standing on God's promises. But we can be sure that in the end, God's promises to us will prevail and God will make a way for us as we honor him. Finally, after a familiar pattern, it is God's way and it is for his glory to make use of the weak and foolish things of the world and honor them. Here, a struggling Gentile widow is met in her need and provided for in a miraculous way as she believed the God of Israel when Elijah spoke his words. God did not choose a wealthy person to receive his prophet. He chose a weak, downcast person to whom he would reveal himself. And so may God challenge us, where required, to take a stand for the sake of the gospel, to know that whatever the difficulty, God is with us and for us, and he will make a way. To rejoice always in the knowledge that God will use the little that we think we have for his glory. And so let us pray. Loving God, we thank you that you have plans and purposes for our lives, and there is nothing that we face on our own, for you are with us always. Your Spirit is with us, and through those around us, you remind us that you care. Help us to hear your voice guiding us or calling us to live generously for the sake of the gospel. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And God bless you.